Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, you industrial professionals from all around the world, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. My name is Scott McKenzie. I am the voice of industry, and this is where industrial professionals come to talk, share with us their wisdom. The content is great. Pretty passionate about it. So, Beard, if you're out there on video, Beard's ready to go. Check. I've got my drink ready to go so I can keep my throat properly lubed. And I'm so thankful that you are here. Let's get the show on the road. We're going to be talking to a gentleman by the name of Steven Reinhardt. He is the president of Robotic Assistance Devices, or RAD. So stay tuned. Great interview. A lot of fun. Like the content. They're quite innovative. Anyway, we got to get this show on the road. Thank you very much once again for joining. I was out last week. I was in Florida. I was enjoying Maximo World. That was brought to you by those wonderful people at ReliabilityWeb.com. And we were doing podcasts on Reliability Radio and interviewing some great reliability asset management professionals. Fantastic stuff. So I'm in the process of working through all of that. But nonetheless, let's get this show on the road. So we always start out safe.
Tailgate talk number one.
All right. If you go out to industrialtalk.com, that's industrialtalk.com. I've got some blogs out there called The Business Beatitudes or The Beautiful Attitudes for Business Leaders. Little root around in there. We've got a series going on. It's going to be around, I want to say, 8 points, I believe. Still working on it. But let me know what you think. You know, it's I'm into leadership. I'm into establish that right mindset. So nonetheless, please go out there and let me know.
Number two.
Okay, along with that, I am passionate. This venue, this Industrial Talk venue, is truly passionate about helping industrial companies be as successful as they possibly can, and that's filling that opportunity funnel. And so we're going to also be starting another series, and we're going to talk about business development. And that is, we're starting to put together the meter on that bone. So, you know, just stay tuned because we're going to be working hard to get that information out there. And that's once again at industrialtalk.com.
Number three.
All right. Finally, we're going to be looking at how we can improve our customer focus. That's another program that we are putting out there, but we got a lot of work to do. So nonetheless, stay tuned on all of those things. That's once again, Business Beatitudes or Beautiful Attitudes for Business Leaders, and that's business development and then customer focus. All of these programs are going to be out there at industrialtalk.com. So let's get on with that interview. So this is the second time Steve Reinhardt's with RAD or Robotic Assistance Devices has been on the program. He was on last year. Now he's joined the opportunity to get on again because they've got some major changes that took place with that particular company. And it's exciting to hear how a company can pivot, change, adjust to the market, because that's what we're all about, right? We've got to be able to do that. We've got to be able to be adaptable to the things and changes that are in the marketplace. And Steve, he's got the bruises to be able to prove to us that he's been there, done that. And I think it's an exceptional interview, great conversation. And then, of course, they focus really on the security space within the industrial market. So without further ado, thank you very much once again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Here's Steven Reinhardt. Enjoy. Well, hey there. This is Scott McKenzie with the Industrial Talk Podcast. I am so glad that you are here. This is the second time around for this gentleman by the name of Steve Reinhardt. You can see if you're out on that video, you can see that he is the president and CEO of Robotics Assistance Devices, as I point with my pen. So go out there to the YouTube channel, Industrial Talk. Find it. You can see me point with the pen because it's exciting. And then we got a buddy of his. His name is Dennis. He can go by Denny. He can go by good looking. Crowley, it doesn't really matter. He is top notch. Hey, guys, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having us on again.
Yeah, definitely my pleasure. You know, when you sent me that email, you said, "Hey, Scott, can I get on your podcast?" Of course, I slobbered all over myself and said, "Sure, yes, go ahead. Yeah, no big deal." So for the new listeners out there, Steve and Danny, we're going to give a 411 on you too. But first, Steve, talk. Okay. See, this is a live podcast, and if that's your phone, Danny, that is a violation right there, and I'm going to make sure that you point that. I point that out. Although you're looking good,
yep.
Now I'm just giving you a hard time. I don't care. It's a podcast. What the heck? Anyway, 411. Get a little background into you there, Steve. Once again, and then we're going to switch to Denny. And I know Denny's got some time constraints, so we're going to pop over there too. Steve, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, sure. So my name's Steve Reinhardt. I'm president of Robotic Assistance Devices. We've got some exciting stuff to share with Scott and any of his and our listeners from this call, because we've gone through a tremendous transformation. It was a little over 3 years ago that I started Robotic Assistance Devices, and we're coming up on a year from when I did a reverse merger into a public entity, and it has been a wild year. So Robotic Assistance Devices itself is accumulation of my experience in everything from artificial intelligence to security, to software, to hardware, and perhaps most importantly, leadership and management. So that's just a brief sample of me. Now, Danny Crowley, on the other hand, he is at least as exciting, and he has many more exciting letters beside his name than I carry.
Go, Danny. What, or Dennis, or good looking?
Denny,
go for it,
Denny.
Man. Denny, go.
I just spent... I spent the last 26 years building a company. We started it with my father in our family kitchen, built it up from nothing to when we sold. We had a little over 3,000 employees and $90 million in revenue. Sold to Allied Universal, and spent a year and a half working with Allied Universal's technology group, where the goal was to identify new technology that's out there in the market today and how we integrate it in with the traditional man guarding. That's how Steve and I met. Allied Universal is one of their largest suppliers, distributors of their product. I was working with Steve, recently left to move on into the world of investments, angel investing, late seed investing, and joined up with Steve, where I saw he had a great product, great team, and being a great guy himself. I like to invest in great products, but also great people. So it was a great opportunity for me to do that.
So really, you guys are security-centric, right? This is your focus. That's your market. That's where you're at. When I say security, you're instead of me talking, explain a little bit about the market you focus in on.
Sure. I mean, what we've done is, and by the way, just real quick, Denny understates himself. Not only is he an investor in RAD, but he is a strategic advisor for me, and he is he's been one of our incredible additions to what is a spectacular team. What we've done is we've been able to identify some gaps in service levels that the security market furnishes to its customers. And when I say security market, I mean two distinct markets. I mean the guarding market, and I mean what they call the physical security market, but what they mean is cameras and access control and that marketplace. Those two marketplaces combined to about $50 billion in sales in North America a year. So this is a massive market. Guarding is up to almost $30 billion, and physical security is up to $20 billion or so on the latest statistics that I read a few months ago. So we have some challenges that are really fundamental. And when you think about customer service, you think about delivery of services, there's one piece that's largely been missing from this industry, and that is customer satisfaction. We don't have a lot of happy customers in this business. Whether you're installing cameras or whether you're putting guards in, whatever it is, it's very seldom, very, very seldom that a customer comes to us and says, "Hey, you've done an amazing job. I love this camera system." Da, 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 da. Those things just don't happen. They've been missing from this industry really since inception.
You know, this industry I hate to interrupt real quick, but there's this book. It's Blue Water, Red Water, right? You're talking blue water because in a sense, it's a blue water market, right? Blue water strategy. You're saying, hey, this is the way the market has been for ever, right? And it's expanding just because, well, the need for security is expanding. And you're saying, which is just really, I have to agree with you on that. I never go to anybody that does some physical security and say, gosh darn it, man, thank you very much for that. Whatever that, you know, walking around and keeping the perimeter secure. That just doesn't happen.
Right.
That's interesting. Continue. Right.
And so we have a bunch of factors. We have underserved markets due to a variety of factors. Scarcity of labor, scarcity of qualified labor, expense, capital expense, just a whole bunch of factors make this a very, very difficult industry to be in. And you compound that and you say, okay, we have a lack of innovation on top of it. So what I've been able to do is concoct, let's call it a recipe of hardware, software, cloud services, software as a service, hardware devices, and so on and so forth to do what I expect to be a paradigm changing venture, I guess, in this massive $50 billion industry. And we're guided by some basic principles. And one of those principles are, besides the fact that we want to deliver improved performance at a reduced price, is we want to engage with our end users across all levels and actually start to have some fun. We want to make security more active, proactive, preemptive versus how it is right now. And I think we've figured out the recipe to do that.
Is that the 2.0 solution that we're going to be going down? Because this is an interesting, this is sort of this, I can't say that it's truly an aha moment, but it is a unique, it just never really dawned on me that you're absolutely correct. And when somebody says security, I'm not thinking, well, that's pretty doggone cool and sexy. That's fun. No, I'm not thinking that because it's just, it's security. So I'm going to be interested in talking to you guys about that. I'm sure the listeners will be too, because the reality is if you're dealing or you're delivering services that you know surpass that expectation, that's fantastic. So continue. I'm sorry about that. I'm just
and that's the goal that we've set. We've set to actually make customers happy as opposed to just kind of fixing the problem or band-aiding it. And we do that through a variety of different things.
There we go. But let's go down the happy route because I want to know how you're going to do that.
Okay, sure. I mean, what we've done is we've created a suite of software, right? So we've evolved very quickly and rapidly by necessity into a software company. And it's the software that engages people. And it's a variety of things from the simple, from being able to create a personalized user profile, right? Just a simple thing, you know, and I have a picture of my dog as my profile picture. Like, you know, it's just fun and engaging. My team will tell you that they spend more time watching our application than they do on social media now. Like, it's just become that fun and engaging, and our customers stay the same. So, but you know what? I'm going to turn it over to Denny. I want to hear Denny's response on this to see if he thinks we're on the right track.
My mind is blown. I mean, it's really a security platform technology that's far more interesting than the other social. Well, that, you got my attention. You had me at hello. Continue.
I just add, you know, let's tell a story, a great success story on the product. There's one deployed at a local charter school there in Southern California. A student came back from a varsity sport event. Parents did not get the right time of day to pick him up. His phone had died. Everyone's left. There's no one there. He's just sitting there. And what do I do? How do I get a hold of my parents? Walked over to the SCOT unit, which had been deployed just a couple of weeks earlier.
Is that an acronym for something?
Yes, it is.
It is.
And that acronym is security.
Security Control and Observation Tower.
Scott. You just need another T to finish up the real name of Scott.
But that kind of goes
in mind when we named it.
Yeah, right.
That kind of goes in mind, though, with what Steve was talking about, making this fun, entertaining. The products have names. If you look behind Steve there, you know, the product line, Scott, Wally, Fred. So everything has a meaning behind it, but it has a name. So, you know, how do you bring technology and make it a little more personable from there? So, you know, getting back to that story, the person came up to the Scott, hit the button. There's now a human operator that comes up on the screen, just like we're doing through a FaceTime or a Skype type interaction, explains the situation. The operator says, what's your parents' number? While they're looking at each other, talking, calls the parents on the phone, tells them exactly what happened. The parents will be right down. They, the two, the control operator and that student engaged the whole time until the parents arrived, saw everything was safe, good, ended it from there. So we brought in this customer service side. It isn't just security looking for the bad guys, but now we're helping people out, helping bring some safety to the situation. People are interacting with it. There's a positive relationship. It isn't that idea of, oh, there's a security guard, or, you know, oh, there's someone that just wants to be a cop that isn't there. No, it's an engaging customer service interaction tool that connects and goes from there. And that's kind of where you bring it to life. Starts with the name, adds the human interaction on the back end, and then it's all done through the artificial intelligence and the technology.
So RAD has a back office now? I mean, that is that customer service support back office. If I plug in and I get to, so that's what RAD has now.
Well, what we do is we plug into third parties, to a list of approved third parties. So customers have choice. You don't have to use any one of our partners. You can use yourself. You can do whatever it is that you want. Our platform is built to be really flexible.
I got it.
For example, you know, Allied Universal, they have a substantial monitoring center in Richardson, Texas. So, you know, they have their suite of offerings and menu items as to what they offer their customers. And, you know, our other dealers can put their own spin on it and their own pricing on it, and the customers choose what they want.
Okay, so let's pivot real quick and let's take it down to the industrial world. Okay, you understand the industrial space. Okay, I've got this high-end asset, this thing that's spitting out some chemicals, whatever it might be, that manufacturing asset. And then you've got to secure it. You've got to do that. How does that new technology bring about that greater engagement for an industrial market in the world?
Let's reference back to the original podcast that we did when we were promoting the roving robots.
Seemed like 5 years ago, but it's not. It's only was last year, by the way.
In our world, that's been, you know.
The technology world, 12 months ago, it's 5 years.
Oh, and, yeah, man. It's blistering fast, man.
Yeah. Continue. I can barely keep
up. Let's do it.
And in those days, what we were doing is we were attacking the same market that we're attacking today. We were attacking it with a moving robot that had a different price point and was designed to supplement, or in some cases replace, a roving guard. Well, that didn't quite work out the way we had hoped. And it turned out that we had to do a pivot to save this company.
Can I ask a question real quick? What was that? First off, what was that pain point that said, hey, it didn't work? What didn't satisfy?
The pain point was the guy you're seeing in the blue Lacoste shirt there. He was the pain.
So Denny, the pain point. Denny, the pain.
Denny wrote, originally, he wrote the performance requirements for the robot. And because I value my contracts and my word, one of the most important pieces of this contract had to do with having a 96% uptime. And there was a series of, let's say, punishments if we didn't hit that uptime. Because right. This is mission critical stuff that needs to be reliable. Now, the technology that we were using, in my calculation, the way that we would work the math is we were only getting 80% reliability. And regardless of what we did, I mean, we brought that up from like 40% to 80% over the course of 18 months.
That's huge.
And I was hopeful, and we're pouring in time and resources and money to get that up to 99%. The platform just wouldn't support it. So we had to make the very difficult decision on what we were going to do with it and how we were going to pivot the company, which we did. So along the way, as we're going through this,
so the incremental cost associated with going from 80 to 96 was just that's a bridge pretty far.
It's an entire rebuild.
Yeah.
It's a ground up rebuild.
Right.
So what we did in the meantime is based on a customer request is we had started development on our towers, which for those who know me or work with me, I keep a lot of things very close to my vest, and I'm in a constant state of semi-stealth mode. So people don't know about it. But we developed this tower, and the tower quickly evolved into this entire system and this entire platform, which we call the RAD software suite, just multiple different pieces of software and serves multiple purposes. And along the way, as we're doing the financials on it, we realized that for the price of one robot, I can get three Scots on site. And not only that, but my Scots run 24 hours a day, whereas my robots run 12. So it's really from an end user standpoint, if I sub in three Scots for one robot, I'm improving their security by a factor of six versus robots and versus humans. I don't even know how that math works, but it's quite a bit.
Well, I'd also add in there that when with the fixed units, because I will tell you, when Steve first brought the idea to me of Scott, I said, you're crazy. But the more
always says that, but whatever I say to him,
my first reaction,
you're loony.
Yeah. I'm the guy who loves new technology until someone presents the idea to me, and then I'm as old and rigid as everyone that I get mad at. So, Steve kept moving forward, started laying out what it does, and I started thinking, actually, this is great, because how many times when we were getting that robot working, yeah, it's on the right side of the building, but there's a problem on the left side, and how long does it take to get back there? Where are we? What are we doing? Well, now, hey, I can put a Scott for the same price, I have three of them, cover most of the corners, get the line of sight, 360-degree view, and all the analytics and everything I need are right there. And the human operator can still talk, interact, work through it, go from there. So now the Scots are in the place they're supposed to be when something happens, as opposed to the other side of the building or somewhere else when we want them in a certain place.
All right, we're going to have to take a break right now. I'm talking to Steve and Denny. If you're looking at the video, robotics assisted devices. Fantastic conversation. We're going to dive into a little bit more of the model because I like where this is going. So thank you very much for listening to the Industrial Talk podcast. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. The Industrial Talk podcast has a new sponsor by the name of ASG Energy. Now, this company helps private companies as well as public organizations of all sizes reduce energy costs through the use of commercial LED lighting technology and electrical services. Now, you know me. I'm a big fan of LED just because, well, first off, I don't have to change the lights. But on a commercial basis, oh my gosh, the energy savings is phenomenal. The reduction in maintenance costs, phenomenal. Return on investment, quick, it's incredible. And the environmental benefits, self-explanatory. So, you have any questions about LED commercial lighting, you need to check out my friends at ASGEnergyLLC.com. Find out more because they know what they're doing. So, check them out. All right, welcome back to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I'm speaking with Steve. I'm speaking with Denny. We're talking about technology. We're talking about leveraging that technology in the security space, and we were talking offline, and I'm slowly getting to the point where I realize what you're talking about, because what we're talking about is that you had a machine. The machine would just sit around and go around, and it all fabulous tech. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, if you're watching the video, yep, you'll see it out there, and it's fabulous tech. Don't get me wrong. But the aha moment is saying, well, why don't I just take that tower that's off that wheel and then just plop it out to the places that I need to. But the best part about it, yeah, there it is again. And it's good looking, by the way. It's very good. It's stylish. Yeah, the best part about it is, and I want to ask the question is, so do I have to, you know, how does it differ than all the other cameras that you got out there? Like, you know, every place has cameras. Tell me about that.
Sure. Yeah, sure. It's many, many, many differences. I'll start with potentially one of the most cost impactful one. This tower right here will run for approximately 10 days without any infrastructure whatsoever. So because of the battery technology and the battery expertise that we have our own battery management system engineering group that work full-time for us. We have 35 employees, about half of them engineers now, that develop all this tech. So there's a significant amount of research development in what we do right now. Is you just drop this wherever it is you want. That perimeter, that distant parking lot, that top of the parking structure, wherever it is, you don't have to spend $50,000 on trenching and permits and approvals and da-da-da-da. We could dispatch this within 15 minutes. And what the conversations we're having with guarding companies is we're saying, hey, keep a stable of these in your warehouse or whatever. And when you get that call from that customer on Friday at 6 o'clock at night saying, hey, I need something out on my parking lot tonight or tomorrow or whatever, and it's Friday at 6 and your manpower is already all stretched to the limit, that's why we named it Scott. Just dispatch Scott.
Oh,
so then he can actually talk. Yep.
Okay, how big is it? Is it bigger than my head, or is it like what's? And you keep on showing that little, you know, it's like little guy. And I'm going, man, I could stick some in my pocket. Now, it's how big? What is it?
It's 6 feet 8 inches tall. And what are the? How wide, Steve?
22 by 22, more or less. 22 by 23 inches wide.
So in 10 days, that battery's going to go down. What do I do to charge that battery back up?
So we have a battery replacement system, which at no point in the process requires more than 25 pounds of pressure, which means that less than able-bodied folks can do this battery replacement. It's a whole platform. We have an electric winch. It's so easy to use. We're going to have a video come out either in July or August about how the battery replacement system operates, just to demonstrate how ridiculously easy it is. Ironically or coincidentally, we've actually spent more time on the physical design of the battery replacement system than we did on Scott itself. That was the larger engineering challenge for us, because they had to make it beautiful, simple, elegant, all weather and easy. You replace the batteries, you bring the old batteries back, you plug them in, new batteries run for another 10 days or so, and then you just keep doing this cycle.
Was there any conversation about doing it like solar generation recharging?
There's been a lot of conversation about that, and it's something that I think we could visit now, mainly because over the past 7 months we've diligently worked to get the power consumption profile significantly down from where we started. So we probably have that power profile at about 35% of when we first started development, when we first did our first prototype in February. And I think we need to rerun the numbers on solar to see how that can extend it.
Yeah, it's in the future development phases that, you know, some of the issues with solar. I live in Boston, so solar's great in July and August, not so great in January, February.
Absolutely. March. I think it's a dual solution potentially, but out to the desert where you're going to go, and that sun is always there.
You know, Scott, I got a fun fact for you, because you love tech. We all love tech on this call. Fun fact. Lithium ion batteries, right? They power our Teslas and, you know, most of our high energy output devices.
If you had a Tesla, yes. So, I want to agree with you on that. Yeah, Tesla.
Don't you have yours, Scott?
Yeah. Oh, I have mine right over there. Go ahead. Fun fact, man.
So lithium ion batteries have a power profile directly pegged to the temperature, to the ambient temperature. And when it's cold, you know, you've probably read that the Tesla batteries, as an example, they degrade in the amount of power that's available to be used. But inversely, the hotter it is, the more power you get on this same scale. So our desert units, we're seeing a 25% power, an increase in available power of 25%. Because they're running at about 100 degrees Fahrenheit versus all of our testing, which is done at, in the low 70%.
Isn't that interesting?
So we're getting more. Yeah.
So you get longer, instead of 10 days, you get maybe 12, whatever, 20, 25, 13, 14 days?
you get 13, 14 days. Plus, we can put the solar, as you had mentioned. So basically, the guys who live in the sun are just way better off than the guys living in Boston.
Yeah, the guys in the Northeast, once again, we freeze our little butts off and don't get the power to keep going.
there you go. Now, let me ask you this, because this sort of segues into that. So there are cameras out there. They're, you know, I'm sitting at, well, I'm watching you guys on a computer. And so you plant this tower out there. It's 6'8". You secure it, whatever you do. Why is the RAD software so important, and how does it differ than all the other cameras that are out there from a security point of view?
Without question or hesitation, the success of this company relies on one fundamental fact that everything else is built on. And that fundamental fact is the accuracy of our human and vehicle detection analytics, which are all artificially intelligence driven. Without being able to accurately do this identification, and without being able to communicate that at the right time to the right person, we don't have anything. All the other stuff is just built on that. So that's our core. And that's technology that we're bringing to Scott, we're bringing to Wally, we're going to be continuing to roll out in different product scenarios and use case scenarios over the course of the next 12 months as well.
So are you saying the AI, the technology AI, is more proactive as opposed to a reactive type of solution?
That's the key to it all right there. I spent a good portion of my life sitting in security control rooms, watching cameras, getting alarms, trying to figure out where the situations are, what's going on as events are happening. Now with Scott, real time, picks up a human walking, picks up a vehicle, picks up a MAC address that we've said, hey, I want to know when this MAC address is in the area. Sends a real-time alert back through the software to the human operator, who can immediately see what's going on, investigate, and make the right dispatch. It could be that, hey, then they just talk back through the Scott, through the speaker system. They turn on the camera and have a video interaction. Or it could be that we need to call the police. We need to call another security officer who can respond in person. But it allows for real-time response in the situation, and that's the trick to it all, is the software. As you ask that question, what makes the software special? One is the AI and the analytics built in, and two is its ability to effectively communicate back to a human with ease. You know, the security industry historically has been an unskilled labor position. I think with RAD's software suite and some of the other technologies that are out there today, you're going to turn that control center operator from a unskilled into a skilled labor position. That person's going to get a lot of data, real time, analyze it, and make decisions on how best to respond to minimize damage, prevent damage, and better protect the safety of the people in the area.
For clarity, what does WALL-E stand for? We've got Scott down pat, missing a T, but we've got Scott down pat. What does WALL-E stand for?
Well, so WALL-E was actually the inside engineering name. So Scott was originally Project X when we were developing it internally. And then, again, based on customer feedback, a customer in Ohio, he says, hey, man, I need these, but it's a little big. Can you just make it smaller? And I was like, you know, my standard answer, sure, I'll do whatever you want, right? So we started calling it WALL-E, just me and my VP of engineering. Anyway, made the big mistake of leaking it to our VP of biz dev. And one thing led to another, and all of a sudden people are calling us for WALL-E, so it kind of stuck, right?
There you go. But it is Scott. WALL-E is Scott. Scott is WALL-E.
Yeah. Yep. WALL-E is Scott. But we have Scott.
WALL-E's the wall unit. It just hangs on a wall. It doesn't have the whole tower. So it's a nice indoor, put it in the lobby, and it hangs on a wall. So Fred, which is the new piece, that actually goes back to the an acronym to fit the name. So,
Fred is our facial recognition entry device.
So,
and it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Me being a branding, marketing, fill the funnel type guy, let's clean that one up, because I want to make sure that I understand Scott, WALL-E, and Fred from a marketing
Scott,
point
WALL-E
of view.
And Fred.
Okay, so I got my industrial hat on. I see the value of what you're trying to accomplish. Why? What does it do to my bottom line? What why is this so important to the company's bottom line, and why do I want to talk to you guys?
Yeah, Scott, I'm a big fan of answering the question why. You know, we start out answering why generally when we use a Denny smile on that. We generally start out with answering the question why, because it's the fundamental reason, right? So listen, you're a VP of finance, you're a CFO, you're an ops manager, you're that kind of guy, right?
Right.
In your industrial role. Now, note that I didn't say you're a security director or security manager or security company or anything related to security. You're on the finance side. You have continuous pressure to reduce your expense, right? That's your job. And those goals that you have as a finance director are sometimes at odds with what your security director wants to do. Your security director, he wants to add security. That's his job. That's what keeps him up at night. I need more guards. I need more cameras. I need more this. He wants to spend more. Finance guy wants to spend less, you know? So you have this issue. So on the one hand, we play well with security directors because we're able to expand their situational awareness at a much reduced cost. And we play really well in finance because there we approach those guys and we're like, hey, listen, we're going to adjust these things. We're going to give you better coverage for less cost. So we kind of feel that by heading both areas, that's the why. The why is better security, lower cost.
And it's going to really come either if there's a critical situation that needs a response, needs some technology in the area, you're either going to add another human at a recurring cost that doesn't have the same detection capability, the AI built in, or we're going to go buy more cameras, alarm systems, inputs, we run all the wires, we put it all in. And again, it still doesn't have the AI built on it. So we're using it as a post incident, as we're investigating after the incident occurred.
Yeah.
Creates, you know, real costs.
Let's go on a little further, Scott. Let's talk about compliance. Let's talk about audit trails. Let's talk about accountability.
Yeah.
We've built a comprehensive backend into the software so that our users can pick up all different kinds of data. That data becomes important operationally when you're doing everything from trying to measure and adjust the traffic flow, when you're trying to predict future traffic flow, all of these different elements. So we deliver a tremendous amount of information back to the customer that is actionable operationally, as opposed to just being situational awareness for the security group. And that's really what RAD 2.0, if you want to call it, or our second generation set of solutions do, is we've successfully bridged the gap between just being a security organization to now being security plus, plus, plus. And we've seen tremendous customer response to this approach.
Is there any integration? Let's say, for example, will this system, for whatever reason, interface with an ERP, whatever it might be? I can't see right now, which I can't see a lot of things, but this is right now a standalone technology, or do you interface with something?
Yeah, so we play nice with everybody. And what we're really want to do is we want to fit into how customers do their business. We're not walking in and telling customers how they should do their business. That'd be presumptuous, arrogant, and ultimately short-sighted. So we want to understand how they're doing, what's important to them. And we have enough levers in our software that we can pull to make the solution that we have very valuable to them. If it includes coordinating with a yard management system for a logistics company, or it includes talking with a visitor management system from a third party. All of these things we can do, and we can do that because we're built properly from the ground up. Microsoft Azure is our primary hosting platform. We use three different cloud services for processing and storage, and it's quite a comprehensive back end that's completely seamless to the end user, but bottom line is we want to play nice with the other people. We want to be as valuable as we can.
So
we want to be.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
We want to be the interface that people use. The plugins that we're developing with Scott Wally and Fred and other acronyms that will wait for proper public disclosure before I mention
Carl
here.
And Jimmy.
Sure. Well, we're under a little pressure to include some female names. So our fourth ad is going to be a lovely primarily female.
Sally. Well, you're welcome. Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah. So, you know, so we want to be open. We want other folks to build devices for us. And as a result, we're talking to different drone manufacturers. We're talking to a lot of different people right now. But overall, our primary focus right now is to get as many Scott's, Wally's, and Fred's into customers' hands and keep building our use cases and reference cases.
So there's two questions I have before I forget. One, this shift to 2.0, are you shelving the mobile device completely?
I expected you to ask that question, Scott. And no, absolutely not. We're shelving the mobile device. We are shelving the mobile device that we have been using and investing in. We will not be doing that device or an iteration of that device. We will be doing an all-new device, timing to be determined, and the rest of that will have to come in public disclosure. But we are absolutely not abandoning roving robots.
Got it. And then go ahead there, Danny.
I would just say, I mean, what I've come to realize is the robot, the Scott, the Fred, the Wally, they're just IoT devices to be there on site to gather the data, sort it. The real value is in the software, the rad suite of products that he's put together.
Right.
And so, you know, the trick comes on the moving unit. The robot is just as the navigation systems, and Steve develops really the better navigation system on the new version that'll come out. It's just adding the same software suite right on, connecting the cameras, the devices, and going out there. So it's not that far away. But the goal, number one, is to get the best product on the market today and then keep that focus to then figure out what else the market needs from there. And the robots will come along in time.
So I'm sitting here and I'm going, boy, I like what these guys are saying. Man, it's music to my ears, whatever. How do I, in an industrial world that tends to be risk adverse, change is not very comfortable, whatever, evaluate this technology in a rapid way? And it's like the human evaluation takes much longer than the technology of, you know, capabilities. Can you touch upon that just ever so quickly?
Yeah. Yes. You know, I agree with you. That's why we have to approach on the finance side, because the finance guys, if you dangle the carrot of savings, they're more likely to act.
True.
We have seen large companies. So Fortune 100 really is, you know, on our direct dial list right now, and they have multiple motivations for engaging. Some of these folks are very pro technology. They are early adopters. They're technophiles. They see the vision. They want to get involved, and it's an easy process to start to do deployments with them. Other companies have a need that can't be filled with existing solutions. So specifically, a need where guards are too expensive and physical infrastructure is unrealistic. Boom, we fit in perfect for that. Easy approach again. Those are kind of the two main areas that yeah. we're finding. Those are the two main sources of our customers right now. How long will this take for adoption? I think it's going to happen very fast. I mean, Denny and I have talked a lot with other people and on panels about how the biggest difference between the artificial intelligence revolution and other revolutions, such as industrial or Bronze Age revolution, whatever those are, this revolution is characterized by an incredible pace of change, unlike we've ever seen before in history. And the pace of change is so great that literally, I mean, we're joking that things have changed from a year from now, a year ago, they have changed incredibly. And the next year is going to be even more changes. So the pace of change is so fast. And that leads us to the issue of adoption. And that's why to help adoption, that's why we're very customer friendly and engaging, and our software is fun.
Oh, I feel warm and fuzzy talking to you guys. You guys are silky smooth voiced. Yes, I
do. We got to put a Wally up in your back there. You need a Wally, Scott. We're going to send you something right
now. It could be a fake one. It doesn't really matter. I'll stick it right there. If you're looking at the video, I got a place for it.
That's right.
Unless it's 7'5" and I'm just like, No, that's really good. Now, we're going to have to take a break once again. We're going to wrap it up, but we're going to figure out how to get in contact with you guys because this is really important. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. You got to stick around, find out where these guys are at, and then we'll be right back. I'm enjoying this conversation, guys. It's all good. Hey, once again, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. If you like what you're listening to, please feel free to sign up for the free podcast as well as the blogs. I'll try to keep it all relevant to your business and hopefully be able to provide some insight into what we do at Industrial Talk and what you do as a professional. Hope to see you soon. Thank you. All right, welcome back to the Industrial Talk podcast. We're talking security. We're talking with two of the guys that the Blue Water folks. They're you know, blazing trails, my friends. And I really appreciate your time because, boy, I'll tell you, one of the things that really caught my attention was the fact that the pace of change is rapid. I always am amazed that no matter what, I don't care, whatever it is out there, and I'm looking on the internet, whatever, I guarantee you next year it's going to be cheaper, better, faster, whatever, and then so on and so on and so on. It's an exciting time. And once again, industrial people, if you're not in the game, if you're not in the technology game, the AI game, the IIoT game, whatever the game is in technology, you're going to miss the boat and your competition is going to take advantage of it. So don't do that. So guys, how do I get in contact with you? Steve, starting with you.
Yeah, sure. We have a phone number. I think it's, I should probably know it, but I think it's 1-877. I'm going to find it. I'm going to scratch that.
877-4 security. Team AI.
I don't know. You know what?
The key is to go to the website.
Go to the website. And that is the website is
www.roboticassistancedevices.com. And from our website, you'll be qualified and then we'll engage with you. There's a lot behind the curtain that we don't put on public space yet.
Yeah.
And,
well, yep. That's all good. So they can reach you and they can say, hey, I heard old Steve out there and he was great and I want to talk to him. And you'd be able to get engaged with him. You're out on LinkedIn too, right, Steve?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Scott.
Okay, Denny, what's going on with you? How do they get in contact with you if they want to get in contact with you?
If you want to get in contact with me, reach out to me at dcrowley@bellenosholdings, bellenosholdings.com. Love to catch up with anyone. If you're interested in looking to acquire a RAD product, we're there. If you're looking to invest with us, please go there. You can also publicly traded company. So we're available out there on the market.
What's your ticker?
Steve?
The ticker is going to be changing hopefully very, very soon. Hopefully by the time this is actually broadcast. I don't know how quickly you're going to put this up, but the new ticker will be AITS, and it's representative of our parent company, which is called Artificial Intelligence Technology Solutions, AITS.
I can put my arm around that one. That's pretty good, guys. And parting shots, is there something that you want the listeners to remember when they go on to other bigger and better things? And all I know is that they should get in contact with you. Any parting shots?
I mean, you know, the only thing I would say is, from a parting standpoint is that I love the fan base that we've developed. We have some really active investors and fans and people that get it. And I want to share that I appreciate those folks that are vocal and understand the vision and are helping us promote it. So I just want to, and Scott, you're obviously high on that list. So thank you very, very much. And thank you to everyone else who helped.
Proud as a peacock right there, baby. Proud as a peacock. Hey, you, Denny, any parting shots?
I'd just say this is great technology. I got involved. I like Steve a lot, but if the technology stunk, I wouldn't be involved in it.
Sure.
But the fact Steve's a great guy. He's innovative, got a great team, and now has a great product. It's a lot of fun working with them.
Exciting stuff, guys. They're really exciting. And I know you guys are busy, and thank you very much. I appreciate your efforts. We've been trying to get a contact with you, Steve, you've been busy running around and doing big thinking stuff. So thank you guys. Appreciate it. And we'll be on the other side. Stick to the Industrial Talk podcast. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, that's Steven Reinhart. That's with the Z, most definitely. And once again, robotic assistance devices are rad. Great job, guys. Really appreciate the interview. Good content. Definitely, I'm looking forward to a thing in the Ola, in a studio here that says that rad on it. But nonetheless, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. You know as well as I do, you can go out to industrialtalk.com. Find out more information about it. I really would love to be able to have the opportunity to talk to you. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you just let me know. I can be found. Industrial Talk can be found. Of course, we got a Facebook page, Industrial Talk. We've got a LinkedIn page, Industrial Talk. And you can find me, Scott McKenzie, and LinkedIn. We've got a YouTube channel. It's Industrial Talk. You get the picture. We even have an Instagram, and we got Twitter. You know what they are? Industrial Talk. So nonetheless, if you can't get a hold of me, not trying hard enough because I'm out there. So once again, thank you very much. Thank you for joining. I truly appreciate the opportunity to be able to bring great individuals on. So stay tuned. There'll be a lot more. Have a great week. We will talk later.